Hello and welcome to the podcast of Vineyard Church here in Maryville, Tennessee. We post our Sunday messages here each week, as well as our conversations episodes, which include interviews, special announcements, and in-depth teaching. You can visit vineyardchurch.us to learn more about us or to access the audio archive. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And now, here's the episode.
All right. Well, good morning. Good to see you guys. Let me invite you to stand, if you would, as you're able. In just a moment, we're going to read from our text and then say our prayer aloud together. Before we do, though, you want to hear something cool? You know what's fun about being the pastor is like, it's interesting. I usually, like most people, I think get, a normal amount of normal news comes their way. But then when you're a pastor of a pretty significantly large group of people, then the news that gets to you is either really good or really bad. Like the people run to you with the really good stuff and the really bad stuff. I've had both today. You want to hear one of the good ones? Okay, one of the good ones. In our early service last week, there was a woman who came to receive prayer. I love this woman. She's one of my favorites. I do have favorites. I love her so much. She's one of my favorites. And she got prayer because there was a severely clogged artery, and they were going to have to take additional medical steps. And so we prayed for her, and then she went back and got another scan, and there's no more clogged artery. And they said, we only have to see you for another year. It's fine. Isn't that cool? Yeah. I just so you know, we believe this stuff. We believe this stuff, and because it's in God's word, and then also in his kindness, sometimes we get to see and experience God doing things like that. So every once in a while, we don't do this very often. If you're a guest and you hate this, don't worry, it's just today, and then we'll do it again a little bit later. Don't worry. But every once in a while, we'll take a minute and say hi to everybody and shake hands and all that stuff. And if you can't think of anything to say, just say God still heals people, okay? So take a minute. Say hello to the person around you. Shake a hand. Off you go. Go, go, go. So, so good. That's probably about enough. That's enough. I know, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to all of them. Okay, fantastic. Remain standing as you're able. If you're willing, we're going to read now. I'll read to you actually from John chapter 15, and we say our prayer aloud together. Oh, I love these words. I am the true vine, this is Jesus speaking, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If I could summarize Jesus' words, he says, remain in me, remain in me, remain in me, remain in me, remain in me. It's, I think, 10 times in that text, remain in me. All right, let's say our prayer aloud together. I'll get us started. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you alone are King. Give us wisdom, courage, and kindness that we might bear your image well. Unify us in heart, soul, and purpose, that the world might know your love. Make us your hands generous and compassionate. Make us your feet, valiant and steady. In service to you and all you've created, give us love greater than fear. Onward for your kingdom, we're declaring your worth, finding our worth in you, and joining you in the renewal of all things. Amen. Amen. Thanks. You guys can have a seat. Our time is a little bit shorter here today, so I'm going to jump right in. First, a recap of a really important concept in our church. We run a lot of things in our church through a semester model. It kind of follows the school calendar more or less. And school is starting up, and so that means our small groups are starting up as well. By the way, it's not too late to sign up for a group, but it is almost too late to sign up for a group. Today's the day. Everybody look at me. Today's the day. Okay, all right. And a bunch of our groups are called trellis communities. That might be new language to you. Let me explain it. A trellis is a structure that allows grapevines to grow as they sort of climb. They have these fast-growing tendrils on the vines that grab hold of a trellis if you give it a structure, and it will grow up and out. And farmers have been doing this for thousands of years because it makes the vines so much more healthy and orders of magnitude more fruitful, and they live much longer. And in reality, if you're going to do anything at scale, you can't even have a vineyard without a trellis. It's that important. And pretty obvious here, this is a vineyard, right? That's the name of our church, and that's also what God names it, one of the things he names his body to be. So we're a vineyard, and according to Jesus, as we just read, we're the branches, and we're supposed to bear fruit. So if we're going to bear lots of fruit, and in the text it says much fruit, right? If that's going to happen, then we need a structure. We need a trellis. What is our structure as vines, as branches, that will help us grow and bear lots of fruit? And throughout scripture, throughout church history, the answer to that question has been spiritual practices. Now, that gets different names along the way, and those words may not be super familiar to you, but when we say spiritual practices, it's kind of a shorthand for just all the stuff that Christians do that help us grow, things like prayer and fasting and generosity and scripture and hospitality and on and on. The stuff that Christians do in order to grow, those are spiritual practices. And those spiritual practices, all of which are found in scripture, they are the raw materials with which you can build a trellis. Okay, they're not a trellis, but you put them together, you build them into your life, and you have a trellis. And that's what we're trying to do, build these practices into our lives so that we have a trellis that we can grow on and we can bear more fruit than we ever could without. That's the premise of trellis. So in our church, we have identified eight sort of fundamental spiritual practices, and there are more than this, and you know. But I tried to sort of cull through church history and find the ones that are really fundamental. And four of these practices are the vision of our churches, to walk with Jesus and love your neighbor. And so four of these practices are primarily walk with Jesus practices, kind of you and God, you and Jesus stuff. And then four of them are love your neighbor practices, kind of you reaching out and loving others types of stuff, okay? And in our trellis communities, these kind of groups I was telling you about, we're working together. That's the whole point of these groups. We're just getting together in order to build these rhythms into our lives and build a trellis together and try to make these things normative for us. And so we focus on one each month, one of these spiritual practices a month. We do that for two semesters. And over the course of the year, we get through all eight of them. That's the rhythm. All right. This month, the spiritual practice we're zeroing in on is the reading of Scripture. So that's what I'm going to talk about for a bit today. I want to read you from the Vineyard Statement of Faith. It says this, really important words. We believe that the Holy Spirit inspired the human authors of Holy Scripture so that the Bible is without error in the original manuscripts. We receive the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments as our final, absolute authority, the only infallible rule of faith in practice. I know it's a lot of big words, but in case you get lost track along the way, let me summarize it for you. We are full on, all the way, down to our core, unapologetically, Bible people. All right? That's the way we roll around here, Bible people. And I'll say one more time that, and then you say amen. Bible people. All right, very good. So, you probably could have guessed this part. I would really like for you to read your Bible. So I cannot press it upon you enough. But you probably knew that because that's actually kind of the first thing practically every church tells everybody when they find life with Jesus. Like, oh, you're a Christian? Yep. Okay, what's step one? Because I don't know. Oh, step one. Step one, read your Bible every day and pray. Read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. It's step one. It's the first thing you hear, okay? That daily you and Jesus thing, number one on the list. If you have ever been a church person, then you definitely know that. And if you've never been a church person, you probably still know that. That's how much we bang that drum, right? Number one, read your Bible and pray every day. So clear, simple. And yet, it is, for so many Christians, for so many of us, this just massive, massive, never-ending struggle to faithfully do number one on the list. And we all know it's the first thing on the to-do list, and it can be really frustrating because, you know what, we can build all these other sorts of like daily rhythms and routines into our lives successfully, and yet, for so many, we can't seem to get this one habit in place. And it's step one, and so it can be very frustrating. I just want you to know there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is not that you're the worst. That's what a lot of people conclude. It's like, how many years have I been into this? I still can't do step one. I guess I'm the worst. Wrong conclusion. A lot of people have concluded that. Don't conclude that. You know why this is so difficult to do? It's because what we read earlier, the part about the Bible being the inspired word of God, about it being the final absolute authority in all matters of life and faith, it's because that's true. And so the stakes are really high. It's because the Bible is the breath of God. And when you think about how significant this is, guys, seriously, just put it so plainly. God wrote us a book. The King of Glory is like, here, I wrote you a book. That's a really, really big deal. And it reveals so much who he is and how he loves us and how he rescues us and how we can live lives that are fruitful and free and joyous and empowered. It's the biggest deal. And not to be dramatic, but just to be logical about this, if we believe that we have a spiritual enemy, and we do believe that, then we can be certain that that enemy will do anything to keep us away from that book. Why is it so hard? Why am I still stuck on number one on the list? Because we have an adversary who is literally hell-bent on you not opening that book. It's step one for us, which makes it priority one for our enemy. So just think about it. I mean, the promises that go with this are just incredible. Back to our text, Jesus said, if we remain in him, we will bear lots of fruit. Like, it's a guarantee. It's just the one thing. We remain in him. We stay connected to the vine. There's going to be so much fruit. And he says, and if you don't, you won't. It's either lots and lots or none and nothing in between. He also said, if we remain in him, then we can ask whatever we want and it will be done for us. And if you remain in him, by the way, the things that you want will be the things that he wants, okay? And so we remain in him. We can have this incredible power to ask what we want. And what does it mean? We're going to bear loads and loads of fruit. And because it's what God wants and what we want, it's going to be all for God's glory. And that is the absolute bottom line, worst case scenario for our enemy. There's sheer panic when you reach for the thing. And look, I want to be clear. Remaining in him, as we just read about, it is not just about keeping a daily time in prayer and scripture. There's other spiritual practices, as I referenced earlier. There's more to it. Okay. But that daily you and Jesus thing is the foundation for it. That's the foundation. That's the core, that's the throbbing center of the whole deal. As I say over and over again, and sometimes I say things too much. It's a preacher thing. I was thinking about this, it reminded me of our sending pastor, the guy who sent us to plant this church all those years ago, almost 20, that's next month, but He shared his testimony all the time. And when he started sharing his story, he always started it the same way with the same sentence. And then everyone in the audience, we would just like roll our eyes and say it with him in unison because he just said it so much. he would always say, when I met Jesus, I was drunk and lost in the back of a subdivision. And when he would say, I was drunk, everybody would be like, drunk and lost in the back of a subdivision. It's like, here we go again. It's actually really good, by the way, that he testified and told his story. That's to his credit. But it was sort of this thing. And I feel like I'm getting close to this with you guys on this one. And I don't care. Back to our boy, DW, Dallas Willard, everybody. The goal is for our thoughts to return to Jesus like the needle of a compass returns to the north. Again and again throughout the course of the day, where did our minds settle in? When there's nothing else to think about, what do we think about? The idea is that our minds would return to Jesus like the needle of a compass returns to the north. And the foundation of that, the core of that, is our daily time in the Bible and in prayer. And hear me on this, guys, because don't mislabel this, okay? What I'm talking about right now is not just Christian busy work. And I think that can be the way we think of it. This is not Christian busy work. This is life. This is the center of walking with Jesus. And I acknowledge again, it's not that easy. We have an enemy, like I said, who will fight this with everything he's got. So it's not that easy. But hear me, it is that simple. Not saying it's easy, it's hard. But the principle here, the concept, is so simple. It is that daily time with Jesus. Read the Bible. Talk to God. Walk with Jesus. I'm going to admit something to you now. I am super out of shape right now. Like, it's kind of, just so you know, it's gotten pretty bad. And I know it's one of those things, it's like in the back of my mind, it's getting worse and worse. And it's like 2 more weeks. Anyway, that's real bad. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, I decided, actually what I did is I gave myself, you ever do this? One of these like mean self pep talks, you know? Like usually my inner monologue, I'm usually pretty kind to myself, but I went mean this time, I'm not sure why. And it was because I think I was a little disgusted with myself. And I was like, Aaron, this is just come on, move your body around, pick up something heavy for the love of all decency, eat a carrot or something. A green bean, you're not allergic to a man cannot live on Coke Zero alone, Aaron. So like I kind of went heavy. Don't do that. But that's where I went. And it worked, or it's worked so far. So I've been working out again for a couple weeks now. It's been 2 weeks. And as you can now tell, I am now jacked beyond all reason. Just completely etched in stone like an Adonis. Some of you are like, is that Captain America? No, it's just Aaron up there again. Just absolutely ripped out of my mind. You can't tell because I dress so modestly. Otherwise, you would be like, your laughter is such a burn. Anyway, no, that's not obviously. I'm actually no stronger at all. Here's where I am. I am so, so sore. I can barely, are you stronger? It's like, I can barely walk. I haven't been this weak in years. I am so sore. And as I work out, just in this deal, like where I'm at, I'm not having any fun yet. And be very clear, I'm not there. It is just drudgery and willpower and discipline, just grit, okay? But here's the thing. Being sore isn't being strong, but it is like pre-strong, isn't it? Right? It's like, all right, we're getting there. Soreness means that some strength theoretically is coming if I follow through, which is a big if. And don't hold me accountable. I got it. No. But anyway, actually on the cardio side of this, equation. I'm starting to get my lungs back a little bit, you know, and like I'm not on the edge of collapse 5 minutes in like I was when I started this a couple of weeks ago. So it's early, but it's happening, you know. And no, I'm not ripped. It's not even the goal. But I'm not discouraged because I know that's how this goes, right? Like, this is not an overnight kind of thing, and we all know that. And of course, you know where I'm going. It's the same thing as we work to build these rhythms into our lives. We build these rhythms of walking with Jesus, and as we do, in time, habits begin to form. And there's still, of course, attack. The enemy will still push against it, still fight against it, but you get stronger and stronger. And your flesh starts getting beat up on more and more by the Spirit. And in time, you will find that your mind starts turning to Jesus more and more throughout the course of the day. And the promise that's so clear, as we've referenced already a couple times, is that if we do that, we'll bear so much fruit. That's the promise. And that's kind of all that matters, guys, is walking with Jesus and bearing fruit. It's kind of the whole deal. So anyway, you may have picked up on this already, but sometimes being a pastor means, being visionary or strategic. It's about leadership or eloquence or vision. And sometimes it's not any of those things. Sometimes it's just pure desperation. And that's how I feel now. I'm so desperate for you to do this. I am so taken by the vision of what might be if we collectively decided to make this the priority that, let's face it, our values already dictate this would be the priority. I'm not asking you to change your values. If you're a follower of Christ, it's not like you disagree with me, right? But I am so struck by the possibility of what would happen if we brought our life into alignment with our priorities, and this priority in particular. And so I'm shameless. I'm begging you. Look at me. I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. I'll just forfeit all self-respect here and all subtlety. I'm begging you to make this a priority. Hear me, guys. Set a time and set a place. That's really important. Set a time, set a place. When and where? Set a time and set a place where you open your Bible every day and you will talk with God every single day and guard it with your life. Guys, fight harder to keep that appointment than your enemy will fight you to stop it. And when you miss it, and you'll miss it, that's the other thing. People, and this is the enemy has a part to play in this as well. We're determined, and then we miss a day, and then we catastrophize about the whole thing. Don't do that, okay? Don't do that. When you miss it, for whatever reason, it's a good one, it's a bad one, whatever the reason and the excuse, it doesn't matter. Dust yourself off and fight for it the next time. All right? Just keep marching. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want to glamorize this in any way. There are some days that you will do that out of just sheer stubborn determination. It's just obedience. It's just work. It's just grit. It's because you oughta and you decided, okay? And there are some days when you do this that the Lord will meet with you in ways that you weren't perhaps expecting. You'll breathe on that time. You'll find yourself encouraged. The Spirit will move and speak, and man, you'll flow through it. It'll be easy and life-giving, and then some days it just won't be like that. There's an ebb and a flow to this, and hear me, that's all part of it. That's all part of it. But I'm telling you just as clearly as I know how, I know I'm being insistent, but like I said, I'm desperate. This is the key, and it really is. It's the Word of God. It's the breath of God. This is God talking to us, and us talking to him, folks, all the spiritual authority I can muster that I might have in your life, set a time, set a place, set a time, set a place, and set your mind to this. Okay? All right, you did about as well as the first service. You want to try it again and beat them? Okay? Yes. You win. Okay, now, hold on to that. I'm going to ask you to hold on to two ideas at once. They might seem a bit contradictory. They are not, but I want to ask you to. So you got that first one, right? You got it? This is hard. Okay, this is discipline. Don't expect magic and fairy dust. Don't expect that this will be easy. Set a time, set a place, set your mind, set your will, set your determination. Fight for this. Growth takes time, all right? Don't think, by the way, that if you read your Bible a couple days in a row, that you'll just be floating around in a cloud of Shekinah glory from all your days from then on, burdened only by all this fruit you're bearing that you have to carry on. Like, this is hard, this is work, all right? Okay, so, yes, and amen to all of that. But also this, I don't want to be dramatic about this at all. I just, down in my toes, I believe it. I believe that God is inviting us into a special season in the life of our church. And I think it's connected directly to this. And here's why I think that. For several weeks, I've been sort of thinking about this, of course, preparing this message, but mostly in sort of writing the curriculum and stuff for our Trellis community. So for this whole month, the month of August, our Trellis communities are going to be working together on just challenging and spurring one another on to do this very thing that we're talking about, to set the time and the place, to make the appointment, to keep the appointment, to read our words, to spend time talking with the Lord and hearing from the Lord through Scripture, okay? So we're going to challenge one another. And so I've been writing the curriculum for that, right? And so it's incredible. Every time as I think about this, my mind goes back to the same image. And I remember when it first kind of popped into my head, and I really think it's from the Lord, and I don't have a verse to convince you of that. I don't really even want to convince you of that necessarily. We should sort of take things like this, under consideration and compare it to Scripture and all of that stuff. I don't want to be dramatic about the whole thing, but I just really think it's from the Lord, okay? And I did say earlier that I was desperate and pleading and all of that, so maybe you should grain of salt this a little bit, but here's the picture I got every time as I went back to this work. And it's, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but it's called a desert super bloom. It's this incredible thing that happens. It's rare. But in the desert, especially in certain parts of the desert, usually toward the perimeter, in those dry, arid places, of course, not much grows. But seed still gets blown. You know, all the ways that seed makes it from one place to another. Seed makes its way to these desert places. But it just stays seed because there's just no rain, and it doesn't have what it needs in order to germinate and blossom and grow into something beautiful. And so in spots in the desert, those seeds just accumulate year after year after year, and sometimes decade after decade, as they're going long stretches waiting for the next great downpour. And then there's this disproportionate concentration of seeds in a place, and then the meteorological realities will align, and there will be in that very dry place this really nourishing rain that will just sort of dump. And what that happens is all those seeds that have been lying dormant all those years and sometimes decades, just waiting for some nourishment, the water hits them and they have what they need finally. And almost overnight, a dry, desert, arid, sandy place will just explode into color. Almost overnight, a super bloom is what it's called, and that's very much what it is. I didn't show you a picture of it because I want you to get curious about it and go on an internet wormhole just looking for it, because it's absolutely stunning. It's breathtaking, the color and the life and the beauty that just explodes in a dry and barren place when the water is finally made available. And so what I really believe, and again, take it or leave it, but I think the Lord is offering this to us, that, you know, here we are in the Bible Belt, and maybe it's like, yeah, I've been going to church, and I've been hearing sermons, and maybe I go to small group, or I worship throughout the week, or you just hear things along the way. It's the Bible Belt, guys. I mean, you can hardly walk through Cracker Barrel without seeing 10 Bible verses. So the seed has been sown, right? Over and over again, and yet the environment hasn't been right for it to flourish and to blossom into something beautiful. And what I think the Lord is eager to do is that if we just will commit to consistently going to the Word and spending time with the Lord, that He's eager to give us a super bloom. I think He wants to bring a wave of beauty and love and life and health into your reality and into this church's reality. And I want to be very clear, I just think this is a momentary, like, kindness of the Lord. These super blooms, by the way, is not, they go away as well.
and this is not how you grow what Isaiah called oaks of righteousness. This is not how we become oaks of righteousness. Okay, that is in time. That is left foot, right foot, year after year, decade after decade. We become these great oaks of righteousness, deeply rooted in God's word. But when the timing is right and we walk in obedience, he meets us with something beautiful. And I think he has something like that for us now if we will just commit to the things that probably we already value so much and make a commitment together. So, all right, we're going to shift gears here. The band's going to come up. And you can remain seated at this point. We're going to have Selah here, which is a couple of minutes. We do this each week just to pray and reflect to make this as personal as we can. I just want to direct that time just a little bit. If you would just go ahead now and take a posture of prayer, whatever works for you, and close your eyes or extend your hands, whatever might be helpful for you to focus. You don't have to do any of those things, of course. And what I want us to do is first, can you just begin to imagine in your mind a dry desert, barren land, and just then exploding into color and beauty? And can we now, Holy Spirit, come? Can we now begin to let ourselves imagine what that might mean for us? As if as we walk in obedience, the Lord would meet us with just a wave of kindness and beauty. I really believe he's eager to do that. Maybe it's been dry and barren for a while. Maybe you haven't felt that type of blossoming or color in a while. Begin to imagine what that might look like. Lord, I ask you to just give us faith in this moment. Let that faith sort of rise up within us that as we respond in obedience to you, you take that offering and you make it something even better. Make it something beautiful. You love us so much. You're so eager to fellowship with us, to be close with us. Your door has always been open for this. Now I want to ask you to do something really specific. In your mind right now, a time and a place. Time and a place. What's the time? What's the place? What are you going to set your clock for to remind you? When's the reminder going to be set? And where are you going to go? What room? What chair? What spot? Time and a place. Set it in your mind. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Remind us now of your kindness, how eager you are to speak to us and move, how eager you are to meet with us. If we'll simply set the time aside to meet with you. Time and a place. If you haven't yet, do it now. Set the time, set the place. Now I want to ask us to respond here in a little bit different way. If you would for now remain seated, but what I'm going to ask folks to do is if you respond, I'm going to ask a couple of things. And if you respond to those things, I would just ask you to stand right where you're at. And just so you know, we haven't done anything like this for a while. So just there's no tricks to this. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or do anything that would embarrass you. Nothing like that. We just want to pray with you. It's so important, like what we just said, if you really just set it in your mind, you set your intention to do this in your life, then you just declared war on the enemy. And so it's really important that your family around you says yes and amen to that. It's important that you take a step of boldness to sort of set that intention, and that we pray for you. And so that's what this is about. And so for two folks, if you're like, you know what, number one, I have been doing that. I've been doing it time and place. Maybe you don't bat for 1,000, but you're pretty consistent. And it still felt pretty dry and barren for a while. And maybe you don't feel like you're eager to have a desert super bloom, all right? You're just like, I need that. It's time. Like, I need the Lord to meet with me in this rhythm, and He would breathe new life. So that would be one group. And then the other group of people would be folks who say, this has been a real struggle, and I'm setting my intention now, okay? So we're going to ask both groups to stand at the same time because, hey, I'm not looking to out anybody for not keeping their quiet time, okay? It's not the way we roll, okay? But either way, then you're setting yourself up for something beautiful, and the enemy is going to push back on that. And we just want you to be bold, and we want to pray for you about that. So if that's you, either of those categories, you've been doing it, but you need the super bloom, or like you're determined to do it. If that's you, would you just stand and respond? Good deal. Yeah, I figured that'd be a whole bunch of us. So if you look around the room and there's somebody you can reach, or if you look around and you see someone who's not getting prayed for, would you just slide over there? I want to make sure everybody's got just a kind hand on their shoulder, if nothing else. We just want to pray for you right now, okay? So move around a little bit to get to the people. So you could just going to lay a hand on a shoulder, and we're going to pray. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Lord. Lord, for those who feel shame because they've like, can't believe they haven't figured this out yet, Lord, would you bring just kindness? We receive, Lord, your conviction. We say no to any condemnation from the enemy. We don't want to be fueled or motivated by shame or fear, but by gratitude and joy and the hope of good things that you have for us. Lord, for those who have been doing the left foot, right foot thing maybe for a lot of years, and this is just a rut, Lord, I think you have kindness for them. Would you just give them faith right now that you're eager to meet with them and move in a new way? Holy Spirit, come. And for those who are standing and saying, it's time, man. I've got to set this thing in place in my life, and I want to walk it out faithfully this time. I want it to happen this time. Lord, would you, yes, let us set our mind and our will and our attention. That matters, but more importantly, Lord, would you cause us to be captivated by the beauty of your love right now? And we, to the extent that we experience your love, we will find ourselves desirous to come running to you each and every day. And Lord, I just rebuke the plans of the enemy, whatever they are and whatever that means. I just come against his lies that would try to keep us from carrying this out. And we just set our intention, and we also, Lord, would you build our faith so that we can walk these things out in ways that are pleasing to you. Come, Lord Jesus. For those for whom this whole like daily thing has become a point of shame and perhaps a point of like legalism, where it just feels heavy now in a way that it seems to rob it of its joy. Lord, would you just take away those complexities and just let them hear your simple, loving invitation. I want to spend time with you. I want to speak to you through my word and through my spirit. I want to hear from you because you're my child and I love you. So I ask that you just simplify it for us. The simple beauty of this invitation. Come, Lord. Let me invite everybody else to stand. We're going to continue to respond for a bit. Stand as you're able, please. Let me go ahead and ask our prayer team, if you would, to come forward. And we'd love to just pray with some folks.
Just while we're praying and praying over our church and our families, I just felt led to pray over our families and parents. It is so easy to say, do as I say and not as I do. And I just think it's really important that our kids see us doing this and that we also invite them to do this with us. I think a lot of times we think, oh, I have to wake up at the crack of dawn before anyone's awake or go to bed super, super late. And if you know me, that's not me. I'm like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it at some time when everyone's awake, and that's okay. And that's actually good because your kids see you doing this. Your kids see you going before the Lord. And I just think a lot of families need to have imagination for inviting the whole family to do it, even at the same time, together or apart, but saying, hey, there's no screens at this hour. There's nothing else. There's no distractions. This is how, you know, me and my house serve the Lord. This is how we put the Lord first in our home. I know some people do it over dinner or whatever, but I just encourage you to have an imagination for that, you know, to set a time aside as a family for your children. So Lord, give us an imagination for that. Lord, help us to follow you. Help us to be bold. Help us to lead our families in this, in the name of Jesus.
So if you want to respond to that, we're just going to have some folks, as you're ready to respond, just come forward. We'd love to just go ahead and be praying with you now. But go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, just a couple more people I feel like God wanted to highlight, and I would love to pray with you. Obviously, we got a lot of other folks up here that would love to. But specifically, if there are those who are like, yeah, I've tried the Bible thing, and I'm just so confused. And you're just honest, and maybe you're even embarrassed at maybe your lack of understanding. You've been going to church a long time. We'd love to pray with you, but also I would love for you not only to consider one of these groups we've been talking about, small groups, trellis groups, but also find somebody you know that is a grounded believer that knows the Word of God, and just approach them and say, would you be willing to go deeper with me? I need help. And just having that humility to ask. And then the other group of people that I felt like God wanted to highlight this morning is if you feel like you've ever in any way been manipulated by the Word of God, and now it's like an obstacle for you to be able to get into the Word of God. So for example, manipulated by a parent to use the Word of God in a weird way for discipline or whatever, or a pastor or a church or a certain church tradition. Lots of us have just kind of weird stories where the Bible's been perverted a little bit. And you want healing from that so that you can dig in and do these things Aaron's talking about. We would love to pray with you about that. I'll be over here. I'd love to pray with you about that specifically. So, yep.
Yeah, so we're going to just sing for a little bit. And as we do, if you want to respond to any of those things, now's the time as we sing. Just come forward. We'd love to talk with you and pray with you. We just want to encourage you. Sometimes it's really helpful to just look someone in the eye and say, I'm going to do it. Maybe it would be helpful for you to look someone in the eye and say, this is my time and my place. I'm going to do it at this time and this place starting tomorrow. Okay? I think that would be helpful. If this is a real struggle for you, then looking someone in the eye who loves you and shares your intention is a really powerful thing. And I also just want to add, you know, we started this by sharing a healing. And so if maybe in that you felt maybe a little bit of hope bubble up in you, like, hey, maybe God is still healing. And whether it's something in your own body or someone you love, but you're struggling and you would like to see God come and heal, I think the Lord would love to meet us, I believe, in mercy and perhaps minister some healing as well. So if you want to respond to any of those things, we're going to sing for a little bit. Don't be shy. Come forward. Let's pray with one another.
To sing together, I just wanted to quickly share with you all at the end of the first service, as we were talking about this, I just sort of had an image of hope for this journey of kind of changing your mindset around what it can look like to do this work with the Lord. And if it has looked like for you that you are in a room with no windows and you're just working diligently and you know, your head is bowed and you're sitting at this desk and you're just working and it feels lifeless, that the invitation from the Spirit can be to take your shoes off and to go walk in the grass outside in the sun in the garden and toil with Him and work with Him and join with Him in planting and growing and watering and, you're putting in this hard work and you're sweating, but it's just full of so much joy, and it doesn't have to look like it has looked like for you in the past. So I just wanted to share that with you all.